The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Our Gospel text today is Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. In this reading, Mark records a profoundly powerful encounter that Peter, James, and John experience when they follow Jesus to the top of a tall mountain. This remarkable episode, commonly known as the Transfiguration, can help us to discover that mountaintop experiences are not the end-all of our life with God, but a means of empowering us for following Jesus back down the mountain, so that we can offer ourselves in service to the world. Fundamentally, the transfiguration of Jesus serves as a declaration to Peter, James, and John of Jesus' true identity. These disciples see Jesus in unveiled glory before their eyes, but there's more. Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the powerful prophet, two giants of the Old Testament faith, appear and converse with Jesus. But Jesus is not portrayed as merely a peer of Moses and Elijah. Lest the disciples misconstrue Jesus' identity, God appears on the mountain. Just as on Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, God is present within a cloud. The disciples hear God's voice in words that echo Jesus' baptism. "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Here the disciples learn from God that Jesus is indeed God's Son, the long-awaited one who will bring God's salvation to the world. In verse 9, as Jesus and his disciples descend from the mountain, he instructs them to tell no one about their experience until he has been raised from the dead. Why does Jesus say this? Doesn't Jesus want others to know about his true identity? Jesus does indeed want the world to know about his identity, just not until after he has died, on the cross, and then been raised that Easter Sunday morning. Only then will his life be fully understood. Jesus is truly the Son of God and the source of salvation. But Jesus did not stay on the mountain. He had a mission to accomplish, just like you and I have missions to accomplish. He went on from the Transfiguration to journey to Jerusalem, where he willingly embraced death on the cross so that others might live. Simply put, we, you and I, cannot fully understand who Jesus is apart from his death on the cross. The stories that follow the Transfiguration serve to focus our attention on the challenges of living as Jesus' disciples in the world. I'd like to share with you three such challenges that Jesus addressed after the descent from the mountain. First, there is the challenge of unbelief. We all know that feeling, don't we? Life is difficult and filled with obstacles. Jesus' disciples are not immune to the hardship of human existence. Disciples often face circumstances that they cannot overcome on their own. As soon as Jesus rejoins the larger group of disciples, he encounters a man whose son is demon-possessed. The other disciples had been unable to cast it out. Jesus dispatches it quickly and restores the boy to his father. Why couldn't the disciples cast it out? Here's my thought. Apparently, they attempted to exorcise the demon out of their own strength, rather than through faith in God. Our trip to the mountaintop doesn't mean that we can live the remainder of our lives out of our own abilities and resources, apart from a moment-by-moment walk of faith in God. Our strength for living comes through faith in God. The second challenge, wealth. Jesus encounters a wealthy man who desires to receive eternal life. He goes away sad because he values his possessions and wealth above his desire for a relationship with God. I know a lot of people that are guilty of that. God promises riches to those who follow Christ, but these riches are not the rewards valued in our world. Jesus is not advocating an impoverished lifestyle, but rather he is saying to those who have been to the mountaintop, don't value your own personal comfort, security, and affluence above the need to follow me in serving and loving the least among us. Last, there is the challenge of status. There remains the temptation for the disciples of Jesus to compete over status. It is possible to conceive of our acceptance by God as a privileged status in which we believe ourselves to be better than others or to be above certain tasks. The opposite is true. Precisely because we have experienced God's grace and acceptance, we can now embrace servanthood as our vocation. Jesus reached out willingly and intentionally to the marginalized of his world. This stance is epitomized by his embrace of children. While the disciples argued about which of them was the greatest, and James and John requested to sit at his right and left in the kingdom, Jesus declared, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Several years ago, there was a very popular book that came out, written by author and pastor Rick Warren, and it's easy to remember the opening paragraph of his book, where he has a penetrating reminder to all of us. The words end the first chapter, "It's not about you." Religious experiences can easily be reduced to self-indulgent exercises. Let's hear that one again. You see, most of us who think that religion is the answer and it keeps us safe, or it's our insurance to the glory of God, those religious experiences, when taken out of context, can easily be reduced to self-indulgent exercises. We pastors see this in just about every church we serve. When we come into contact with God on the mountain, these are moments of empowerment for service rather than invitations to withdraw from the world. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in all of his glory and majesty, yet Jesus led his disciples back into the world for service and ministry. In Jesus' case, his descent back into the valley was the beginning of his journey to the cross. I guess the principle here is all experiences of God's grace are gifts to be shared with others. A quick story for you. When Michaela was 4 years old, she began to ask about Jesus. She wanted to know where he lived. She learned that Jesus lived with God, but that he would live in her heart if she believed and trusted him. This impacted the young child greatly, and her family noticed a real difference in her life. Her grandfather visited the family a couple of weeks later. Michaela rode in the car with her dad to meet her grandfather at the airport. As always, she greeted him with a smile and a big hug. The first words out of her mouth took everyone by surprise. She said to her grandfather, "Papa, Jesus lives in my heart now. Does he live in yours? He will if you trust him." At age 4, Michaela figured it out. She had been to the mountain, but she didn't stay there. She came back down to share the good news with all the people whom she loved. This is our call, too, as followers of Jesus, to share the good news with all the people that we love. Have you been to the mountain? It's time for us now, if you have, to return to ground zero. It's time for even us here at Good Shepherd, with opportunities abounding in 2018, to return to ground zero and share our discovery with others. It's time to put our trust in Jesus, who can transform us and who leads us the way and who leads the way for us. It's time to live unencumbered by our society's call to consumerism and self-indulgence. It's time to embrace servanthood as the distinctive mark of the follower of Jesus. My people, let us live by faith, be known by love, and serve as a voice of hope to others. Amen.